Back Talk is an extension of the long-running movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional comment and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.
God, I love hearing that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm KG Klein.
And this is Back Talk. Now, here we have an unusual situation. Ordinarily, any movie that we're featuring can be streamed or it's already playing. However, I happen to see a film that you saw, and I just saw it a couple of days ago, and I said to myself, this is one spectacular. I've got to talk to Ken over the air with this one, and it's called Strange Darling.
Strange Darling. Now, I caught this one when it first came out, and by the time this airs, it may not still be in theaters.
It is not in our theaters.
But that doesn't mean that you can't look it up streaming or find, you know, physical copies of it, Blu-ray. This is a film that was on my radar because it has quite a pedigree of people working on and writing for it, and it also did very well at the summer film festivals.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you like Hitchcock, this is a good film for you. This is sort of harkens back to films like Psycho, where you're watching the film. You remember Psycho. You're watching the film, and you're thinking, oh, this is a movie about a woman who is stealing money and is on the run. And then about a half an hour in the movie, suddenly, whoop, 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 and it's no longer a movie about a woman stealing money.
I got to shut you up a minute here. I would think equally a Tarantino vibe.
Yes,
here.
Yeah, there's right. A Tarantino
so,
vibe into this.
You know, where you have the timeline mixed up and where you have a underlying sense of humor, though the humor here is much lower than that in say, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, yeah, it does not have Tarantino's sense of humor, but it is a nonlinear storytelling, yeah, right? To be sure. In fact, this is a really good example of nonlinear storytelling.
All right, there are six chapters,
yeah,
but they begin at three.
It begins with chapter three. I think it goes to chapter five after that, because it wants to tell you the story in a certain chronology in order to leave out events that will prove critical when the film suddenly takes a 180-degree turn.
The director, J.T. Mulner,
yeah,
and the writer who also did Outlaws and Angels, which was apparently not a great hit, but boy, he hit his stride on this one. Again, it's called Strange Darling, if that isn't a strange enough title for you. Where it begins in that chapter three is so fascinating to me. And where it has that subtle sense of humor, she, who is just a wonderful actress, Willa Fitzgerald, is being chased by car by the character named the Demon.
Well, she's driving a 74 Pinto.
That's a sense of humor.
Which
itself.
Is very Tarantino. You know, Tarantino is, the car is always a character unto itself. And yeah, she's being chased by somebody in a big truck who is firing a shotgun at her, and she is very clearly a woman in distress, a woman on the run.
He is Kyle Gallner. You all watch out for him, because he's done some other things, I think, that have
both of them are very...
Passenger,
everybody, this is a very small cast. I think there's only seven people in this whole film. Everybody does a very, very excellent job. This is an example of a low-budget movie that works, that you don't notice it's a low-budget movie. It didn't need a bigger budget than it has to accomplish what it was trying to do.
I really think that there are big things for both of these actors. They are so intense. They are so good. There's a seductive scene that goes on for minutes that is just brilliantly conceived. Now, Mulner is trying to just upend everything, all of our expectations. This is what great film where you want to test your expectations as you go in, because he's going to try to blast those. And he does. I think he does. You're constantly waiting. You're guessing. It's a guessing game. Well, what's going on? I mean, I've seen a young woman chased in a car by a madman, by a rapist.
You think, as this movie starts, that this is a pretty conventional story,
yeah,
of a woman in her probably late 20s who's been sexually assaulted and is trying to escape from her attacker. And that's the way the movie plays, really, for about the first 40 minutes or so. Just because it seems conventional doesn't mean it's anything less than a very good movie. It's an excellent film. It's a little misogynistic, but then so was Hitchcock.
Yeah.
You know, I doubt that Vertigo could get shown today or made today with it being as misogynistic as it was. This movie is not nearly that bad, although you might want to keep that in mind if you're taking your date to see this movie. Few moments moments where the woman doesn't come across perhaps as noble as you'd like.
Yeah, yeah. We're having a really tough time with this plot because anything that we reveal is going to spoil it for you.
Well, and that's why that we need to stop at just saying that about 40 minutes into this movie, it does a 180, catches you. It does a good job of catching you by surprise. I did not see it coming. And then the rest of the film is very intriguing. It's clever. It's inventive. It's innovative. Is it going to be Oscar material? No, probably not. But it is a film that's refreshingly original.
I wish that they would be Oscar nominated. I think both of them do such a superb job.
They both do a great job.
But it's not going to happen.
No, there's some heavy hitters still waiting to come out the rest of the year. And I think film like this and other of the low-budget films are probably going to get a little pushed aside, with the possible exception of Sing Sing. I think Sing Sing is going to hang in there. I hope.
You are an optimist.
I hope.
Because I'm with you in spirit. But I am really pessimistic that anybody's going to see this enough to nominate it, to see Sing Sing enough.
Sing
to
Sing
nominate.
Enough nominate. Yeah.
You mentioned a couple.
Two of my favorite characters in this movie, as she is running from her attacker, she reaches a house out in the woods that's occupied by a pair of elderly hippies. And they are comedic characters. They're wonderful characters. They're very genuine. I love the performances. I wish we actually could have seen a little bit more of them.
Oh, definitely. And you have to name the actors.
Well, I'll let you do it.
Ed Begley Jr. plays the old guy.
Ed Begley Jr.
And Barbara Hershey.
I love Barbara Hershey.
Revived.
Yes.
What a great role for her.
It was a great role for her.
Things don't turn out well for them.
Yeah, won't go any further.
No,
but
we don't have
to
go any further. But you know, when you see her approach that door and yelling and screaming, I think the title of the chapter is, "Can You Help Me, Please?"
Yeah.
Yes, she's yelling.
When our woman on the run, who has no name in the movie, by the way.
She's called the lady.
She's called the lady in the credits. And the guy is called the demon.
I think two things. First of all, besides the scarlet red Pinto, she's also in red scrub. I mean,
yes.
So he emphasizes the bloody nature of this. Ken, it struck me that there's similarity between this, though most people don't mention it, between this and Monster.
Yeah, I can see that.
Although, again, in doing that, I'm revealing something, but I don't know.
There's also a similarity towards the end of this between this film and Leaving Las Vegas. But Monster, I can see also.
Yeah, right.
I can also see Monster. If there's any one piece of this film that will stay with me for a very long time, it is the last 5 minutes during the credits. This, folks, this is one of the most interesting credits sequences ever. And it is painful to watch. It really is. But it will stay with you. But the acting is phenomenal. And it's this moment during the credits. There's no dialogue, but you're just watching something slowly unfold. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to see the movie, then you have to sit through the credits. But this is a movie that has credits that will stay with you forever.
Another part of this film that is fascinating. Director of photography, the cinematographer, is Giovanni Ribisi. You can tell I'm getting a little frazzled by this movie. I'm beginning to feel that there is something here that has captured my imagination, and that is the authorship of this by this guy Mulner, whom I've never heard of before. But I think his photography, I think his characters, I think his upending the whole genre is really spectacularly good.
It's a kind of film I like. It's a low-budget film with great cast.
Yes.
I would much, much rather watch a great cast give a great performance than watch CG. Strange Darling.
It's just a title. I know it's in the lyrics of a song that the movie begins with. I'm trying to figure it out. But this is one strange movie. What do you advise our audience?
This is one of the greater films of 2024. So if you are looking at what came out in 2024 and saying which movies are really worth seeing, this is going to be on your list. For example, I'll use Psycho. Also, the portrayal of women. This is very consistent with, say, Vertigo.
Strange Darling. Boy, I needed you on this one. but I think it's really just a very exciting movie. And I wondered if we couldn't discuss for a few minutes something that struck me about this. Please, my apologies to everybody. They know, one thing they know, we don't reveal. We do not spoil movies.
No. And this movie, it makes that tough for us.
Boy, is it difficult.
It's very difficult for us to talk about the last third of this movie without giving anything away.
So for this podcast, and there are probably one or two listeners out there, besides the Feedspot people.
Thank you, Feedspot. Thank you for listening to us. You make this all worthwhile. You really do.
I thought we'd look at some female murderers.
Oh.
All right. And I know that's beginning to reveal, but I can't get around it if I'm going to have this topic.
That's quite right.
I did mention Monster.
Monster, yeah.
And this Charlize Theron got the Academy Award for that.
Yes, she did. She gave a magnificent performance.
And transformed herself as no other woman I've ever known in film has transformed herself. So that's a really good one. And they've changed the plot quite a bit from the reality. Yeah. I think her crimes were done in maybe Florida, and I think this is set up in Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and most critics don't even acknowledge or try not to acknowledge the monster business, perhaps because of the same problem I'm having, trying not to reveal the plot.
Yeah.
But surely she is. What about Basic Instinct? She's not a murderer, right?
Well, first of all, you're talking about one of the best scripts of the 20th century. I mean, that's just an amazing, amazing script by one of the best script writers that was out there.
I tried. Hers was all sexual violence, right?
No, I would say that her motivation was part sexual and part control.
But as far as murder goes.
As far as murder goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one where it kept you guessing.
Yeah.
Every step of the way, you're still, right up to the very end, you're still guessing what's going on right up until the very last shot. And that last shot has been criticized. A lot of people, including Roger Ebert, thought that last shot was a cop-out. But you know what? All that last shot was just another way of flipping the coin one more time.
As a female murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie.
Oh, well, now that's tough. That is really tough.
Would you call her? I mean, it is revenge, of course.
It's revenge. I side with Carrie. I mean, I'm going to go out
on
the line.
Well, we all do, yeah.
Yeah, I side with Carrie. Carrie is a perfect example of a poor young girl who has a power that is completely out of her control. The power takes over. Her emotions control the power, but the power also controls her emotions. And I would not put her into a murderer category. I have a very hard time even classifying her with the rest of Stephen King's stories, where there is more intent with most of King's characters.
Well, anyway, let's just say a woman who uses violence, unusual in movies. But let me give you another example.
Well, I'll take it one step further. I would say that Carrie has a lot in common with Frozen. And I'll throw that out there and let people talk
about
that.
Good God, I knew you'd get to I knew you'd get your animation in here somewhere. Mm. How about this one? Here's a good murderer, female.
Okay.
Natural Born Killers.
Oh, yeah.
Juliette Lewis.
Yeah, and another great performance. Another great performance, yeah.
Oh, well, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. One more sophisticated, but still a very threatening woman, came out in 2013, Under the Skin.
Okay, that is an interesting science fiction film. Under the Skin was based on a science fiction novel. Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, sure was.
Gave maybe her best performance of her life in that film. Very brave performance, took a lot of risks. It's, as a science fiction story, it works as a book and it also works as a movie, but in two different ways. The alien is much more clearly defined in the book. Scarlett Johansson never really pulls the skin off.
And I like the way that they do this because it universalizes it more.
Yeah,
because here she's just a menacing woman.
The movie is more down to earth than the book is. The book is much more science fiction.
Yeah, she's more crazy.
Do you have Thelma and Louise in there?
Very good. I hadn't thought about Thelma and Louise. I hardly think of them as murderers, although they are.
Yeah.
But very good choice because I had one. I think.
But another one where I'm very sympathetic to the cause.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde. Well, now you got a guy and a woman.
I know, but Bonnie, we're looking at the woman.
We're looking at the woman.
Do we often think of her as a murderer?
As a murderer. Not the way they're portrayed, because that movie came out at the height of the anti-hero era, the Easy Rider era, the era of the anti-hero who is trying to, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, another example. So we're supposed to sympathize and identify with the anti-heroes in these movies, which is why their final ending, that's supposed to be a gut punch to us.
Okay.
Because these are the characters that are breaking free of the system. They're breaking out of the control that have been forced upon them. Ultimately, things happen. There's not much difference between Thelma and Louise and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid when you get right down to it.
Probably many, many more. I was trying to think of this, if Strange Darling be considered also a thriller?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, very definitely.
All right. And you already mentioned Psycho, which I think is a great...
Strange Darling has more in common with anime, I think, than it does with live-action films.
Okay.
You can compare Strange Darling to a lot of Japanese anime where the female characters are often the nastiest characters.
Oh, yeah, you're good.
Yeah. In anime, the female characters are the vicious. They're the assassins. They're the ones you really got to watch out for.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Yeah, the Japanese have a different take on this whole thing.
Well, here's one. Now, if I'm trying to say, okay, Strange Darling is a great film, but then I want to put it next to what I think is a truly great film.
Okay.
Silence of the Lambs.
I would say very different films.
They are.
Silence of the Lambs, yeah, you've got a tremendous performance from Jodie Foster as this CIA or FBI agent.
But just generally speaking, yeah, as type of horror film, thrillers, Silence of the Lambs is so superior to almost everything else, not Psycho, but so many other thriller films that involve serial killing.
Yeah, so when you're dealing with serial killers...
Killing.
Yeah, because you've got two serial killers in Silence of the Lambs. You've got the one she's hunting, and then, of course, you've got Hannibal Lecter
right,
one of the greatest performances in cinema history.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good example of a thriller movie. This kind of movie, this is a fairly simple, straightforward storyline of one person being hunted by another person. I mean, in this sense, the movie has probably a little bit more in common with something like Predator, if I can go really on the line there and throw a science fiction movie in, you know, where you've got one very well-armed person who's very, very dangerous, and one less armed person who is still pretty darn dangerous but has the odds against them.
Well, then we're free to twist all these genres in our discussion because our movie is twisted and our director twists everything. Here's a different take. Wait Until Dark.
You know, I haven't seen that movie. Okay. Maybe I have.
Audrey Hepburn? Is she blind?
Oh, yes. Oh, right. Yes.
So I'm saying it's a different side.
Yeah.
She's not a murderer.
Well,
but she's a survivor.
Okay, no, I'll throw another movie in there that I think is maybe a little bit closer, which is Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. You can make a little bit of a comparison here.
No argument there. I had another one on my list that I thought you might... Oh, I know one. This is the one where you have the home invasion. Does the wife participate with the husband, and it's played by somebody like Dustin Hoffman? They're in a house, and they're in one of the really first home invasion movies, and they have to defend themselves against these invaders.
Hmm.
And they do a good job of extricating themselves from the situation. And I just wondered if you might remember her participation, his wife, because they go after his wife.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a milquetoast who has to come.
Oh, I know the movie you're talking. Was that a home invasion or were they stopped on the road?
No, I think it was a home invasion.
Was it a home invasion?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm remembering Straw Dogs.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Straw Dogs. It was at home.
Was it? I always thought it happened on the road.
Pretty sure it was at home, but very good. Yeah, that was the title I'm looking for.
Yeah, Straw Dogs.
Well, man, I'm telling you, I've had enough of this. I'm exhausted from all these murders. And women. Gosh, I've had to concentrate on women.
But isn't it great when we see a strong woman character who's well-acted and is three-dimensional? Because, you know, throughout cinema history, women have often been played as supporting characters, backup characters, comedic characters. Really, that tide started turning in the 70s. And then, of course, in 1980 or 79, Sigourney Weaver in Alien just really established the strong woman heroine. She nailed it. She opened the door, and everyone that has come forward after that, they all have Sigourney Weaver that they're standing on her shoulders.
Yep. Okay, K.G. Klein, what do you advise about this movie? Now, we often take a look at families and try to...
Yeah, not a family movie, probably not a particularly good date night movie, but if you want to find, again, the best films of 2024, I would certainly put this film on the list.
If you're at all into movies and you want something a little bit different.
And you want something that's going to completely catch you off guard and surprise you, this film does it. This film does it. And as I said, the most memorable closing credits of 2024.
Okay, Strange Darling.